This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who is listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. We like to call this the world's biggest alcohol-free podcast, the world's fastest-growing alcohol-free podcast, allegedly. It is wonderful to have your company once again. If you are joining us for the first time, just a quick recap as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. And I've actually stopped counting. I think I'm around 1,000 and odd days alcohol free. It will never not surprise me. It will never not be brilliant. I'll never not love it. It is just ace. I don't do this on my own. We are joined by my handsome, I was going to say knackered looking, very handsome podcast co-host. Yeah, you, Freddie, in the future in New Zealand. Morning, Freddie.
Shaza, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I literally don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what day it is. But I do know I'm very, very happy and excited to be here today. About 900 days ago, if I was awake at 4 a.m, it would probably mean all sorts of bad things were going down. But I decided to change my behaviours. I decided to actually live the life that I wanted to live. I stopped running away from my problems. I started running into the Guinness Book of Records, and that's a whole different story that we can fill our guest in on. And I haven't looked back since. I'm so excited to be here. It's going to be a great show, and I think everybody is in for a treat.
Really excited. I've even put a shirt on today, which I don't know if you've noticed. I usually look quite awful. I put a little blouse on today for this episode. I've made the effort.
I've kept my gym jams on for this episode.
We are also joined by, I'm going to call him formally Background Ben. Ben is no longer in the background. He's very much in the foreground and he's very alcohol free and has just celebrated one whole year of sobriety.
Yes, and I love it. Sobriety is, alcohol free life is for me, I think. I was thinking, when I get to a year, do I go back to drinking? No, I love being alcohol free. It's fantastic. And look, that's all you need to know about me because we need to move on to our fantastic guest today.
We do.
Who's doing the intro, actually? Is it you, Freddie, today?
Freddie's going to do the intro, but before he does, I just want to say, great shirt, by the way, mystery guest. You're looking fine.
Yeah, I'm trying to compete with the blouse you put on there.
Well, you know, try harder. Try harder.
So I'm going to do my intro, and we know it's going to be a great show if Freddie is talking about himself in the third person, and secondly, if Freddie's actually done some preparation and written something down. So you know it's going to be a good one. So here we go. We've brought you famous musicians, athletes and authors. But today, I'm forecasting a historic episode of Over the Influence. Our guest today shot to worldwide fame as the dancing weatherman. His dance moves performed in a suit and tie in the new Studios of America went viral. And now he has over 2 million Instagram followers and 2.2 million followers on TikTok. He's been featured in videos with superstars like Jackson Miles, Monty Lopez and Joey Reid. And he's also making cameos at places like the MTV Video Music Awards. And we are delighted to welcome an absolute superstar and a gentleman to show us the man behind the moves. He's the body popping, chart topping, weather bomb dropping meteorologist that you don't want to miss, Mr. Nick Kosur. Welcome.
Oh, dude. Oh, man.
Boom.
Best intro ever, man. Ever. I'm gonna loop that on just like a repeat of 24/7 and play that wherever I go.
So Nick, welcome. We're so happy that you're here. I wanted to dive in with the first question and just get you introduced to everybody. So I'd like everybody to, you know, create this mental picture of about a month ago, Sunday night. Freddie's doing, talking about himself in the third person again. Freddie's doing his general Sunday night, watching one of his favourite people on Instagram, trying to copy the dance moves in front of his mirror. His 9-year-old son is sitting there going, "Dad, what the heck are you doing? You look ridiculous." And I'm scrolling through Instagram and, you know, Nick, I'm a huge fan of yours. I love your videos.
I love it.
I love trying to copy your videos badly. But then one video hit me, and it was the video you posted on April 12th, and that's where you talked about your alcoholism and your addiction. Mm-hmm. And I've got to be honest, it totally hit me for six. I didn't know that this was part of your story and part of your life. And from that moment, I said, we absolutely need to get you on the show. And that's why I'm so happy you're here today. But if that's okay, take us back to the beginning and, you know, your story and what role alcohol used to play in your story.
Dude, first of all, I need video of you dancing along to my stuff.
No, you don't, Nick.
Second of all, it's a true honor to be on your guys' podcast. I try to stay in my own lane, which is Instagram and TikTok. I don't do a lot of podcasts, but Freddie, man, the way that you reached out was awesome. You're email intro or the subject line that said, "I don't care about your dancing," caught my eye.
So, it was a risky one, so, that's for sure.
Dude, no, I loved it. I loved it. It was super swaggy. And so I'm so honored to be here. Yeah. You know, I'm glad you said that, though. I'm glad that you said that it kind of hit you like a ton of bricks, that video, because that's why I posted it, man. You know, I mean, a lot of social media is such just fake, you know, premeditated, carefully curated content that I like doing stuff like that every now and again, where it's like, it's not just the lighthearted stuff. It kind of, you know, a little bit of the content or the subject matter that I post is real, because I don't want to waste my platform, you know? So I had been waiting for the opportunity to come out with that part of my life. And my church just kind of happened to invite me to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, that was probably the right time and environment and everything. But yeah, I mean, you know, both my grandparents, my grandfathers were alcoholics, and the alcoholism kind of runs in my family. And I never really, I was looking through you guys' Instagram timeline, and somebody had a quote that said, like, alcoholism really sneaks up on you, or alcohol can sneak up on you. And, you know, that's kind of what it did with me. I drank through college, kind of, you know, socially. And then eventually I realized that I was doing it as a crutch. You know, I needed it a lot, seemingly. And, at a certain point, I was like, wow, I'm not doing this very responsibly. I should probably quit. And of course, I quit 4 or 5 times before I quit, you know, hopefully for good. But yeah, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because look, man, nobody's perfect. Nobody lives like a pristine existence. And, you know, I'm just like everybody, man. I got my own stuff going on that I've had to deal with. So yeah, that's the deal.
Were you nervous at all, Nick? And I noticed, again, not sounding too much like a stalker, but that video you posted on Instagram, at my last check, it had 413,000 views, which made it, certainly in recent time, one of your highest viewed videos. And were you, I mean, obviously it had a great impact, it hit a lot of people. Were you nervous about posting it? And like you say, that kind of, that coming out to the world in terms of this is part of your life?
You know, it's funny. I think a lot of stuff, you know, like that would make plenty of people nervous. But honestly, man, I couldn't wait. I love talking to people about this. It's funny because it's such a simple thing. And by the way, congrats to you guys for being alcohol free for, it sounds like, 1 year and then 3 years, kind of 3 years and some change for the rest of y'all. Mm. I'm about 3 years in, four will be September. And it's funny. It's like, it's the dumbest thing. It's so obvious. It's like, hey, don't put poison into your body and you'll feel better and make wiser decisions. And
it's like, and it won't cost you a penny.
Yes. And it's like so obvious, but it's so like hard for people to understand that it's just a great decision that you can make for yourself. You know, a lot of people can handle their alcohol, and that's cool, you know, but for me, I'm just a better person when I don't do it. And I love talking to people about it because I feel like it's kind of a cheat code for life. It's like some kind of hidden secret that is so obvious, you know, that it shouldn't seem secret, but it kind of is. And so, no, I wasn't nervous. Matter of fact, you know, my dances and stuff, they get far more views than some of this other stuff I post, but it's the other stuff that I post that kind of satisfies me the most, to be honest with you. And that post was one of them for sure.
So me and you both have a similar soberversary, as we call it. I'll be 3 years in September. You'll be 4 years in September.
Big nice. Yourself.
That is just, nice. It's incredible. It is awesome. We talk, yeah, just do a little dance there on camera for the purposes of people listening. Nick, what brought you to the point where you said enough is enough? Because we've spoken to so many people over the course of the last 12 months with this podcast, and there doesn't necessarily need to be a rock bottom. It doesn't have to be an absolute horror situation. And as the post you referred to today that went up on our Instagram, it was from myself, and it was that all of a sudden you're drinking and you're through uni and you're working and you become a grown-up, allegedly. Yeah. And then you look back and you go, hang on a minute, at what point was it normal to be drinking a bottle of wine and more or whatever?
Yeah.
Night? Do you know what I mean? And it creeps up on you and bites you on the bum. What was your turning point, Nick?
Man, it's sneaky, right? And everybody sees it except for you, which is the craziest thing. But for me, it was this incident where I went out to like a bar restaurant with my best friends in Charlotte and my wife. And, you know, up until this point, my wife had been telling me, hey, I don't think you drink responsibly. And then my parents and, you know, my sister and stuff had told me that. And, you know, obviously when it comes from those people that are closest to you for some weird reason, I feel like that's the stuff you discredit the hardest. Like, nah, you don't know. What do you know? And so I was doing that for several years. And then, yeah, we went out to this bar restaurant and I just, you know, I wasn't drinking responsibly. And I got like into a little bit of a, I forget what it was, like a little bit of a, just like an kind of an argument with my wife. And, you know, it was kind of like a scene sort of, I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a little bit of a scene the next day or even that night. Really. My friends were like, dude, that wasn't cool. And somebody said that one of my friends thought someone was going to call the cops or something, which I didn't realize was going on. And so I felt so bad, you know, that night, going to bed, just like mentally. And then I woke up and I realized I couldn't go to work, man. I just didn't feel good, you know? And I ended up calling in sick that day, and that was a Monday. And so then, you know, I come to a little bit Monday afternoon and I go, you know, that was like a public scene, because in my mind, being an alcoholic meant you just had to drink all day, every day, and you lose everything and you're living outside or whatever. But that day I kind of added the sum of the events up from the day before. I was like, I ate a public scene. My friends are not telling me to slow down. And I just had to call in sick from work because I don't feel great, largely from drinking, you know? And I was like, yeah, I think this is it, man. I really got to get a control of this. And, you know, just knowing that it runs in my family. Like I said, both my grandfathers, you know, suffered, were alcoholics. And I was like, it's definitely time. So immediately I hopped on the phone and I scheduled like therapy through my work's EAP program. And that was the beginning of a beautiful thing right there. That first therapy session. And I wish I would have, you know, looking back on it, I don't know about you guys, but I wish I would have done that 10 years ago, you know, because yeah, it was the best, right?
Yeah, we say it a lot. We say it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know why people think drinking, or I don't know why I don't want to sound preachy, but I don't know why I thought drinking was like a solution or something that was awesome for so long, when now I realize so clearly that only like annoying to horrible things can happen to me when I drink, you know?
You know, Nick, I really relate to that story because I like to think of it that I didn't have an alcohol problem, but I did have a problem with alcohol. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did drink, I drank too quickly and therefore too much. And what you're saying about the argument with your wife, my girlfriend, Jem, on my 6 month anniversary of giving up booze, she wrote me a little card and she said in there, you know, I'm really proud of you for da da da, lots of lovely things. And she also just put a little note in there that said, you know, not to dwell on it too much, but also don't forget there's lots of positive things that have come out of it. But there were times when you weren't very nice when you'd had too much to drink. And I'd cause arguments where there weren't arguments, and I'd find a problem with something where there wasn't a problem. And it was just because I'd literally just drank too much and it didn't.
Yeah.
She always used to say that after one tequila, I was fun. After two tequilas, I was a dick. And that was it for the rest of the night then. What was the response? Because my family weren't saying to me, you should give up alcohol. But when I said to my mom, for example, that I have given up alcohol and I'm going to do it for 3 months initially, and, you know, think about it for longer maybe, she said, that's a really good idea. What was the response like from your kind of nearest and dearest?
Yeah, I think, you know, because I tried to quit like a few times before. I think they were like, well, we'll see how it goes, you know. They were hopeful. And so is my wife. You know what's funny? Like when I gave up or when I made the choice, and I think this is another lie that a lot of people think, I was like, man, nobody's going to like me anymore. Like I'm not going to be cool and funny and you know, outgoing or whatever. And I was most nervous to tell my best friend about it because him and I, you know, we've had great times. And that's kind of, it's weird because that's the only kind of time we had ever really had together, were those kind of wild memories that we made. And so I was nervous, man. I called him up and I still like picture it in my mind where I was when I called him and I told him. And he was like so cool about it. And he was like, that's awesome, you know. And I don't know. I think a lot of people think that once you tell people you're gonna get sober, their friends and stuff will react one way when really, you know, they probably will react a totally different way, which is, that's great, love it. You know, everything that I've gotten really has been positive. Nobody has said, dude, you got to keep drinking. You know what I mean? Nobody's been like, you're so awesome when you drink, you can't give it up.
Nick, I would ask you to go in and probably shock you now. So brace yourself.
Oh, here we go.
Now, hey. you probably know, you've met me, you've seen me, you've heard me. You're probably assuming that I had some past career as like a mixed martial arts fighter.
Definitely.
You know, maybe some very manly job, like working on an oil rig or something. But actually, that isn't true.
Like you read my mind.
I've actually got a geography degree of all things, and so I know the world of meteorology, and I know an El Nino when I see one.
And, my man,
and I know what a hardcore profession it is. So I'm definitely, you know, kindred spirits with you there. And I wanted to talk about I'm actually getting to a question, believe it or not, as well. I wanted to ask you about, you know, you mentioned the impact on work and calling in to work sick. And I'd say, I know, because I've been there in the weather trenches. I know meteorology isn't just about standing in front of a green screen or a blue screen for a couple of minutes. It's it's a hardcore profession. Do you feel it was, you know, the drinking was affecting your work at all? And like I said, because I remember when I had to go into work in, again, in an office, not on an oil rig or something, and I felt terrible and I was trying to hide in meetings. But I imagine knowing that you're going to be on camera and on camera live, that must add a whole extra load of pressure.
I mean, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, you know, and like I could get through it. I didn't feel great, but after you do something for like 10 years, you know, you can kind of sleepwalk sort of through an easy day anyways. So I would be curious to ask some of my former coworkers if they had any idea. I would imagine maybe a couple that were the closest to me might have, but to be honest with you, I was doing a decent job, but I was here when I could have been here. And that's the thing that I think people don't understand is, yes, you might be able to get away with it. You know, people love to claim high functioning alcoholism like it's a good thing. And I'm one of those people, you know. I was like, dude, I'm perfect. No, there's no change in my performance. And while I was doing, you know, my tasks and they were passing, you know, I never went to work hammered. You know, I was always just kind of hungover. I never, you know, would do anything super wild. But the thing that I notice when you're sober all the time and you always have a clear mind is you're able to just, it's like a snowball, you know, it's like you pick up a little momentum, you get an idea, you take on a project, you start improving in one area, and it's just that momentum keeps going. Like it never really stops. Like you start something Monday and you make 5 days of progress on it by Friday. Whereas if you drink a couple nights in the week, you know, that momentum gets going and then whoop, it stops because you don't feel great on Wednesday morning or Thursday. And look, life is like that, man. Life is not one, you know, huge moments. It's like changing 1% of your lifestyle over a long period of time has these huge results. And that to me has been the biggest thing. It's like, sure, I was doing fine, but I don't know. I think a lot of people don't want to just do fine. They probably want to excel, you know, and I was able to, instead of just do fine, I was able to do just that extra bit more that adds up a lot over time and stuff. And so that's the thing that I hope like people can take away from it is, sure, you might be able to get away with it, but you're not living your best life, you know, and I don't know. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize how big of an impact drinking had on my career performance until after I stopped drinking.
I think a lot of the things you've talked about, in fact, everything you've talked about there, Nick, each one of us on this pod can relate to, and probably just about everybody listening that has removed alcohol from their life. But in order to experience everything you've just talked about, you have to remove alcohol completely. And you're almost looking back through the rearview mirror going, actually, that was quite crap. And then going forward, everything is like in Technicolor in HD. I just want to come back to something you mentioned before, which I totally get. So you're the party animal, the party starter, first at the conga, first at the bar, doing it all. Oh my God, life couldn't possibly be fun without alcohol.
Right.
All we're going to do, just watch your TikTok. Just look at your social media. Just look at the shirt you're wearing, the glow you've got today, the way you're talking to us. There is, I don't know how to describe it, there is nothing quite like alcohol-free laughter, alcohol-free fun. And in fact, it's so much better because it's real.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a wilder ride to be sober and feel all those emotions rather than like, you know, dull them out. I mean, think about it, man, when you're sober, like you feel nervous, you know, and you truly feel nervous. You truly feel happy. You know, it's not fake and it's not like dulled out and stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's just such a clear, obvious, easy thing that's so hard to do. And like I said, I just wish I would have figured it out like 10 years ago. I don't know. Hindsight's always 20/20. But I, you know, like you said, I mean, all this stuff kind of, it's just so obvious. And to be honest with you, it took me about a year to totally clear free of all those like weird habits and thoughts that I had. And really the breakthrough that I had was through therapy. 'Cause I realized that I was actually self-medicating with alcohol 'cause I had social anxiety, like textbook social anxiety. So after 3 therapy sessions, my therapist goes, dude, I think you clearly have social anxiety, after she made me fill out some stuff. And I was like, oh, and you know, you hate to hear that about yourself because, you know, it seems like a weakness. It seems like, especially as a dude, you know, I was like, ah, I don't need anything. I'm perfect the way I am, which is like such a dumb caveman way of thinking, at least in my opinion, about myself. So she was like, yeah, here, try this pill. It's like 10 milligrams, just give it a shot and see how it makes you feel. It might take a couple of weeks to kick in. And I was like, okay, fine. And so, man, I'm telling you what, I took that pill after that therapy session. I went and picked it up, took it that night, woke up the next day, and it was immediately, I could tell that it had helped. And I honestly, like, now that I don't have as much social anxiety, don't get me wrong, it's not like a miracle drug, but now that I don't have that weird, like, buzzing feeling inside of me, I don't really need a drink. You know, I'm cool with just being there as myself. And that right there, you know, it's like you just got to get to the root of the problem, man. And it's super hard to do, and it sucks when you're doing it. But trust me, it's easier to just have a crappy 3 or 6 months or 9 months or a year rather than, like, having a crappy 20 years just, you know, guzzling booze, man. So shout out to that therapist. She rocks.
I think you're so right there, Nick. And I think that helps a lot of people as well, because, and I know I was in this situation. I say I proudly failed 1,000 times to stop drinking. And I always say, you know, even if you fail 1,000 times, you only need to get it right once. And if you get it right once, then the rest of your life is well, I wouldn't say perfect, but it's certainly on the right path. But I think a lot of people out there, and I felt this as well, you feel like it's your fault and you think, why can't I just get this? Why do I keep falling off the wagon? Why do I keep failing? And then you beat yourself up and you think, well, I know what will help. I'll have a drink. And there's so much going on in people's heads, especially after the last 18 months that a lot of people have had. And that's why I think it's important that people do get the therapy. You do look at what's going on. I mean, I've been through 2 bouts of therapy. I think therapists have got certificates on their wall for dealing with my shit sometimes. And that's the kind of just the way it goes. But I think you're right. And it's about helping people to understand what's really going on inside them. And drinking sometimes isn't the cause of everything. It's just the solution that people are sometimes searching for just to try and feel better.
And therapy is really weird, especially as a dude. I don't know if you felt this way, but gosh, for whatever reason, that's the last thing I wanted to do. Like, it seems like it's admitting defeat. It's so weird. And I don't get it. Like, I would probably still have a hard time going back to therapy today for something else. You know, and I don't know why. I mean, it's so like your thoughts are huge. Like, if you get a broken ankle, you obviously just go to the doctor. Like, there's no reservations about getting that fixed. And your mind is kind of along the same lines. It's like, you need a medical professional to help you out sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. If there's one takeaway that maybe some dudes out here that are watching or listening can take away, is that just give it a shot. I mean, you don't even have to really tell anybody, to be honest with you. Nowadays, everything's on Zoom anyway, so you can, like, sneak away and have a Zoom call and just, you know, see if it helps. I mean, it was great for me. It was great for me.
No, it was for me as well. Yeah, you're right. Back in the day, this was back before. Yeah, this was when Corona was just a drink we tried to avoid. It wasn't a global pandemic. But it was kind of like I was having some illicit affair. I was kind of like
looking around,
sneaking out the house. Then you'd be walking down the street and then darting into the room quickly.
Yeah.
I was there with, like my hat and my fake moustache and everything
else. It's so weird.
I think it's funny, you mentioned it as well with telling your friends about drinking and then telling your friends about therapy. And I know everyone's different. And I always wonder, do you have to have the big, so-called coming out celebration where you almost have a reverse intervention and you say, right, everybody, I've got an announcement to make. And everyone kind of, cries and everything. Some people want to keep it to themselves. And I think that's okay. The main thing is that they get the right result in the end.
Yeah, you're right. It is different for everybody. For me personally, I like to do everything kind of on my own and then tell people after it's already going well. So if I mess up, then it's not like a obvious colossal mistake. But yeah, I did it. I think a lot of people, when you first tell them, I'm going to quit drinking, they're like, good luck. Or yeah, you've said that before. But I truly believe in your heart, like when it's time, those other times that I tried to quit, I think I knew deep down I was probably gonna, drink again eventually. But once you fail a couple times, you kind of realize, oh yeah, I really do, have an issue here. And so, yeah, luckily, my friends were super cool with it. Very supportive. They would always, even to this day, it's been three years, I feel like I'm doing all right, but they still, anytime they go to the bar, they come back with water for me or like sparkling water, which is like super cool. And they've never pressured me into wanting a drink. It's funny because every family vacation we go on, they shotgun a beer and I shotgun a sparkling water. So it's like I'm still part of the crew. But yeah, I like to try to keep it low key for at least a few months. That's why, here I am 3.5, almost 4 years into it. And I'm just kind of putting it out there into the world. Cause had I have done this 2 weeks in, first of all, there's no credibility to what I'm saying, or not as much, I guess. 2 weeks sober is still pretty good. But there isn't as much credibility. And, second of all, it'd be super embarrassing if 3 weeks later I fell off. So that's just me. I know putting it out there and kind of manifesting it really helps for a lot of people. But if you're more like me, kind of low key, that's what's worked for me so far.
We're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
Hello, it's Freddie here. Look, I'm very excited because I've been given my very own section of the podcast. The training wheels are off and now I can drive on my own. And this is what I'm calling Freddie's favourite bits. Now look, one of the best things about the Over the Influence community are the premium podcasts. For the last couple of months, Ben, Shaz and myself have been secretly recording a second Over the Influence podcast exclusively for our members. Look, check this out.
You know what? I've got myself in a bit of a fun catch. I know that Over the Influence are all about positivity, but just because I've actually got a bit sad on this one. I'm sorry.
You know what? Your mood has really dropped since you remembered back on this all-inclusive booze cruise or whatever it was.
I'm actually writing a bit of a list of places I need to go back to now that I'm alcohol-free. Barcelona's one. On my 30th birthday, I woke up completely and utterly destroyed. And we went to the Nou Camp. My mates, I went to Barcelona with my mates, and they'd bought me a ticket to go around the Nou Camp's Barcelona stadium. And I can't really remember it because I was still a bit pissed. And like, that's awesome. That, what a great experience. And I didn't do that properly. So I need to go back to Barcelona. I need to go back to Dublin.
Ben, we've all been there, Ben. I was on the same thing, Ben. I've never been to Barcelona sober. I was in the Nou Camp watching a football match with Lionel Messi and all the other footballers. I fell asleep at half in the second half because I was so hungover. Literally, in the cathedral of football, watching the world's greatest football player playing for what some people might say the world's greatest football team, I was there in my seat, head in my hands, passed out.
The common factor in all these holiday disasters is alcohol. I'll very briefly tell you, when I was 40, so this is 7 years ago, me and my younger brother, he bought me a gift of a 48 hours, or was it 72? Can't remember, I was that pissed. In Iceland, one of the most beautiful places on earth. And I had possibly the worst hangover of my life. And I thought I was going to die and drown in the Blue Lagoon, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. What a waste. 72 hours drinking Icelandic vodka. I want to go back and I want to do it sober. Ben, we've talked a lot about firsts on the podcast over the influence. You know, you've done your first barbecue, you've done your first birthday, you'll do your first wedding, you'll do your first stag party, whatever it is. When you have done, when you have done and nailed this first sober holiday, happens to be all inclusive, big deal, forget that. No matter what holiday you go on, there's going to be alcohol everywhere. Once you have nailed it and you have experienced the flip side of the holidays, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., not because you're stumbling in, because you're getting up refreshed to go out and see a sunrise or something like that, and enjoy your coffee and enjoy your breakfast and have all this time in the world to spend with your loved ones and your family, I swear to God, you'll come back and you go, Shaz, Freddie, I nailed it. And you know what? It was frigging brilliant.
We have taken the Over the Influence podcast that you know and love, and we have turned the volume up to 11. I'm talking about more truth, more motivation, more fun, more facts, more laughter, more sobriety, coming in your ears every single week. Our members are loving these podcast episodes. There's already a bank of them saved up, and we release them every single week. This is just one of the many, many benefits that you can get for becoming an Over the Influence member. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk right now to check out everything you get from becoming a member. We are so excited about this. We are starting a bloody sober rebellion. We've got one member who's literally started day one with us. We've got another member who has got 7 years sobriety under her belt. Anyone is welcome to join. We will welcome you with open arms because we can guarantee one thing. There is nothing like this on the planet. We are starting a sober rebellion and we want you. And the Over the Influence premium pods are just one of the many, many benefits that you get from joining the membership scheme. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk right now and check it out. And now, I've always wanted to say this, back to the episode.
How about you? What did you guys do? Did you put it out there? Or what worked for y'all?
So I'm very low key as well, Nick, as you can probably tell. it's weird because, you know, I do put myself out there, and Nick just says, you know, I'm an all or nothing kind of person, so I stopped doing 3-day benders in Vegas, and I started running across the Sahara Desert and doing ultra marathons and breaking records and that sort of thing. So I guess I talked about it through that, but to be honest, people that, you know, if there wasn't this podcast, a lot of people wouldn't know that I'd quit. I'd say 95% of people out there, apart from our global listeners in the tens of thousands, don't know how bad it was as well. So I don't wear it all on my sleeve. You know, I'll happily talk about it. I'll talk to everyone about it. But I, you know, there's some people, especially on social media, and they're kind of, everything is sobriety, and they're kind of, you know, they're doing the washing up, and they're saying, oh, this is so much better when I'm sober, and they're kind of, they're changing their kid's diaper, and they're saying, oh, this is so, I'm so much more involved with this because I'm so sober and everything else, and everything is about the sobriety. But yeah, I keep it a little bit more quiet.
I don't. I like to sing and shout. So,
no.
Nick, I went public with it pretty much from day one. I like the accountability. So if I tell people about it. But what was quite funny, you know, I got ridiculed. You'll not do that. Huh. You'll not get past the first weekend. Don't be ridiculous. And yet here I am, approaching 3 years down the line, still doing it, singing about it. But what, there's many things I love about it. But what I love is the fact that we are vocal about it. We have got this podcast. We're talking to people like yourself. It gives others a voice. And I think, like you say, not everybody is comfortable making it public. Not everybody feels that they can talk about it for whatever reason. Yeah. We don't care about that. We're not bothered. If you are trying and if you are doing it, let us be your voice and let us shout about it. And we get a lot of private messages. I, in particular, get a lot of messages from women my age, mums my age, people that it's crept up on, you know, that can relate to the things I'm saying. And they just go, how are you doing it? And I'll say, right, here's what you do. You stop drinking. Make that decision, commit, and then the rest will follow. So I can't stop singing about sobriety. It's brilliant because I spent a lot of time singing about getting pissed and getting drunk. And actually, it's not all that.
Yeah, it really isn't. What about, here's my question for y'all. What was your experience with AA? Because I know AA works for a lot of people. Did you guys, because it didn't really help me. You know, I didn't resonate with me. But I'm always curious to know if it helps other people, like personally.
Not one of us has had any experience with AA at all. So we can't offer any opinion whatsoever. I know a few people that have done it and it has been amazing, and others that have tried it and it's not been for them. So really, Ben, Freddie, I don't think I'm allowed to say this.
I will say, I mean, I do remember back in the drinking days, I'd been out partying in London. I'd done a Freddie special, as I called it, as stayed out all night in London, got the first train home, and it's, you know, like a 3-hour train journey, and it's that kind of train journey where your face is pressed up against the window like that, and you're just holding on to for dear life, trying to keep it together. And I got off the train and I thought, right, that's it. And I called up my local AA, and you know, they were very supportive, very helpful. But it kind of, and I mean this with a lot of love and respect to AA, but it kind of felt like I was calling up to book a funeral. And maybe I was calling up to book my own funeral. But it was, the whole vibe is what I found personally, you know, quite heavy, quite
somber.
This is forever, this is your commitment. And it was very rigid. And for me at that point in my life, I needed something a bit more fun and a bit more, because one of the reasons we started this whole thing, Nick, is that we, you know, so I personally believe it. Why can't getting sober be the best damn time of your life? Why?
Right.
Why does it have to be doom and gloom and self-loathing and self-flagellation and everything else? Why can't it be the moment where you make a stand and you smile and you tell the world, this is me, and it hasn't been great and it hasn't been easy, but I'm still standing, and this is where I'm going to move forward with positivity and laughter. And that's what I was really looking for from, and that's probably why I decided to go against AA at that time. But I do know it is really helpful for a lot of people, especially people who, you know, who do need that structure and that serious focused support.
Yep. I'm with you. Actually, the AA chapter that I went into was so like, and again, this is just my opinion here. I know AA helps tons of people. Shout out to anybody who's got a lot of help from them. But it was so depressing, it almost made me want to drink again. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, man, that was heavy. I gotta lighten the load a little bit. But I agree. You know, I will very, very honestly say my life, the best part of my life has come after becoming sober. I mean, the first year was kind of tough and annoying, trying to kind of like figure out who you are again and kind of, you know, making your way in the world as a sober person. But after that, man, for me, anyway, you know, and again, my story is way different than anybody else's. This is just my path. But like, after that first year, you know, I started, you know, hitting my stride on social. Freddie, it sounds like, you know, you're out here breaking freaking world records, and I'm pretty sure, I'm no detective, but I'm pretty sure you didn't break any world records while you were boozing.
No, I broke a lot of other things, but no world record, that's for sure. I was going to ask you that, Nick, as well. I know it's probably quite an obvious question, but looking at the timelines, and it's, I must admit, I've got a bit of a 4 a.m. brain at the moment. But, you know, you were known as the rapping weatherman around 2018.
Yeah.
The dancing weatherman thing came in, started to get big around 2019. So that obviously begs the question, if you were still drinking, would you be dancing?
You know, that's a great question. I actually was known as the rapping weatherman long ago, even before 2018, probably around, I think that started like 2008, 2009, 2010. Okay. And so I was much, much younger. And right about then, that's when I had started drinking, like, and kind of realizing that I think, you know, I wasn't doing it responsibly. And so I went viral for doing that, and I made pretty much every mistake in the book. Like, thankfully, the internet then isn't what it is now, because if it was, I would have been in some trouble. But, you know, I just made every mistake in the book. You know, I did interviews, you know, and I had been under the influence, and that wasn't pretty. And, you know, I made decisions while I was drinking, and I ended up taking a job that, you know, it just wasn't right for me. It wasn't the right fit. And that little time period came and went quickly. You know, I hit like a little bit of viral success, and two, three months later, it was gone. And I just couldn't sustain it because mentally I wasn't ready. I wasn't in any kind of space. Plus, I wasn't able to keep that momentum up like I talked about earlier. Like every other day, I wasn't feeling great and stuff. And I don't know, I just kind of flailed around a little bit, you know, after that. And, the answer is no. I mean, because I already had gone through that little viral thing and I wasn't able to sustain it. And then, you know, this next go around here with the dancing, my first viral video came in early April of 2019. And, you know, here we are. It's July, almost August 2021, and things are still going all right. You know, I'm not going to say that I'll still be hitting tomorrow, even, because the internet can change quickly. But if it does, you know, I was at least to able to sustain momentum for a couple years anyways. And I know for a fact, if I was drinking, that would not be the case. I would have probably torpedoed it by responding to comments in a crappy way one night after I had too many, or, you know, posting something that was unsavory, or just not had the energy, you know, or the time to carve out of my schedule to do what I needed to do in order to keep these videos coming. So yeah, hell no. So Freddie, man, it sounds like you're an all or nothing kind of guy. I've explained myself just like that. And I'm wondering if Shaz or Ben, you guys are like that too, because I would be interested to hear, because I feel like a lot of people that are alcoholics kind of are inherently all or nothing people.
It's almost every single person that ever met
Yes!
Alice, isn't it?
Yes.
Almost every
yes.
single person. Like, and you know what though? I look at that, and there are huge positives in that.
Yeah,
you know, you are all on it. And as long as you're putting that energy towards something positive,
Bingo.
Then what great energy to have. You know, like
yes.
Shaz, I love Shaz's quote where she says that she puts as much energy into not drinking as she did into drinking.
Oh, there
and,
you go.
You know, how long did you drink for, Shaz? You know, you kind of owe it to you for balance in the universe.
Well,
you need
absolutely.
To do that.
I mean, I drank for, I'd say 44 years. I didn't start drinking at the age of zero. So I drank for probably 30 years, something like that. And I went full pelt. You know, there's a saying in England, don't do anything half-assed. You've got to use your full arse. You've got to give it rock all.
I think that's just your saying, actually.
The
full arse bit, I think, is yours.
I do hope Nick understands what I'm trying to say involving the size of my arse. There's a lot of it. And there's a lot of energy behind it, Nick. So when it came to sobriety, it was like, right, I'm going. I'm going all in. I am not doing this half-assed. I'm not just having a Prosecco. I'm not just doing this because there's a wedding. I'm going to do this properly. And yes, I did put all that energy into not drinking. And I still do. And it's just so life-changing. And the potential it gives you. And we've talked about this on the pod many times. It's like removing the layers of who you are that are just dulled by alcohol all the time. And then underneath this thing pops out and goes, well, hello, isn't this all right?
It's like, you don't really know who you are. Or you know what the thing is? I think like people are like kind of scared to be who they really are because they're afraid people won't like them, you know? Mm. And at a certain point, it's just like being that person is easier than being an alcoholic. So you might as well, you know?
And it's so tiring as well. And I think, you know, with that all or nothing personality, and, you know, I literally had a name for myself, which is sad. And I used to be Fun Time Freddy and the guy in the bar. And it was better than Freddy Got Fingered, which is what some people used to call me. I was the first guy in the bar, the first guy to get the tequilas and everything else. And then I was like, This is hard. And I was always having it like a boxer before he goes in the ring. I was kind of outside the bar, like going, come on, you know, get in the zone. You can do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And like you guys said, man, if you're all or nothing, it's awesome if you're doing the right thing. It's terrifying if you get caught up in the wrong thing. And so, you know, if that's part of your personality, man, and you're putting it towards drinking, just imagine what you could achieve if you cut drinking out. And that I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm not drinking, sometimes my all or nothing tendencies take me into the snacking realm where I will, I will blow through like a whole bag of Doritos fast. And I tell everybody, dude, I eat how I used to drink. And they're like, I get it. Like my son gets so pissed when I go into the pantry because he just knows like a whole box of something is about to be gone fast.
It was exactly the same thing with me. I don't know if anyone can resonate with anyone else, but you know, when back in the drinking days, when you used to, you know, have the dinner party or whatever, and you'd say, you know, anyone want a drink? Drink for anyone? And you go in the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and behind the door, you'd be kind of like, gluck, gluck.
Oh, hell yeah. You know,
pour yourself a big one and knocking it back. Hell now. I do that with candy. So I'm like, anyone, any snacks? Anyone? I'm just going to the kitchen. I'm behind the fridge door. I'm there going, nom, nom, nom.
That
nom,
is
nom,
so nom. It, man.
And my that kids would be like, so Daddy, true. I can hear the packet rustling. I'd be going, what? And it's just like that with sugar. And that's, yeah.
Straight up.
The struggle is real with sugar, that's for sure.
Man, for me, it's those purple bag Doritos. I don't even know if they're spicy chili or something. I call them purple Doritos. Gas station honey buns. Oh, my God.
What are they? Explain, Nick. What's a gas station honey bun?
I don't even know.
Sounds like rude Instagram name, doesn't it? Like...
Are you on the right podcast? Can we just confirm what you're saying?
That's my OnlyFans profile. Gas station honey bun here. I don't even. That's the thing. I'm not even like. I don't even call these snacks by the right name. So purple Doritos, the gas station honey buns. I don't even know what brand they are. Maybe like Fisher or something or Little Debbie, but they're those like deliciously moist honey buns that are like saturated with icing. And man, gas stations for me used to be hard because I'd go in there and be like, I got to get beer. You know, like I would have to get beer. Now I go in there, I'm like, oh God, I got to get candy or something, you know? So it's the gas station honey buns, iced or not iced. I don't care. I'll just eat them all. And
you know, it sounds filthy.
They are the worst thing you could possibly eat. I promise. But they taste delicious. Next time you go to a gas station and you see a gas station honey bun, please just try one and reach out to me and tell me what you think.
I am now starving. I'm so hungry all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't get my words out. I'm that excited. This has been energetic. So slow down. Hang on. Okay.
It's been a high energy episode,
it's
hasn't
been
it?
It's really high
wonderful.
Energy. Yeah. It's just been so much fun. It's been so honest, so inspiring. But I think for me, what this episode sums up, talking to you, Nick, is that you remove this one thing from your life and you simply do not know where it is going to go. We were literally sitting around Freddie's little kitchen table in his house in Liverpool around 12, 18 months ago, saying, oh, we'll do this little podcast, you know, and we'll see if anybody listens. Today, we're chatting to your good self. You know, we are chatting to Nick Cosier. Cosier. Mm-hmm. I'm slurring my words. I sound drunk. I'm not. Honestly, it's just excitement. If somebody would have told us this when we did our first little episode, just over 12 months ago, we'd have gone, nah. Sobriety opens up so many doors. It opens up so many beautiful paths. You just do not know where it is going to go. And for me, this episode has just shone a light on the sheer joy, the sheer unexpectedness of sobriety. So thank you for choosing us to talk to. It has blown us away. And thank you to Freddie for being a cheeky little shit, basically. And
everyone has to have a talent, don't they?
Listen, I'm going to start getting a bunch of emails now from people being like, you're ugly. You stink. You know, just to get me on their podcast. But that's all right. It was worth it.
Thank you so much. And I think it's all about the laughter. We said before we recorded, we'll probably have a bit of a laugh through this episode. Sobriety is fun. We haven't stopped laughing. And for me, that is it in a nutshell, Nick. Thank you.
Well, listen, guys, let me say something real quick. You guys are really, really doing some good. You know, I like to use social media and stuff to try to put like some good in the world, or at least, you know, stuff that will make you forget about the bad. And I love the way you guys are going about doing this, where it's not like that somber thing where, you know, you go in there and people are like, oh my gosh, this is what life has to be. Like, you guys make it cool to be sober. And that, in my opinion, is what society needs, man. I think society right now makes it way too cool to be, you know, under the influence or making bad decisions. Like, that's cool. And it's not. It's not. And trust me, nobody tried harder to be that version of cool than me. And the coolest that I've ever been is just like the sober actual me. And I think the more people that message reaches, the better. And I'm not doing it. I don't have a podcast, but you guys are. And I am always like here. I don't care what part of the hemisphere I'm on, because we're over all of them. But please reach out to me, because, you know, we're family now. And just hearing a lot of what you guys said really helps me validate some of my own thoughts that I've had that I haven't been too sure about. And so, you know, this was as much of a learning, pleasurable learning experience for me as maybe it seems to have been for at least you, Shaz. And,
it was all right, Nick. It was okay.
Yeah. But no, dude, anytime, please. I'd love to come back and you know, talk more. So you guys freaking rock. That's what I'm trying to say.
Amazing.
You guys freaking rock.
Thank you so much, Nick. You've absolutely blown us away. I'm trying to get in a weather forecasting joke, but I'm too excited, too overawed by it. Nick, in case anyone around the world hasn't heard of you before this episode, what's the best place to find you? How do they follow you?
All right, well, Instagram. I'm mostly known as an Instagram guy. Nick Cosier. So NickKosir. It's just my name. That's my Instagram handle. I used to be Fox46 Nick. You could probably still get to me that way. Same, just look up my name on that name I just gave on all of the platforms. You'll find me. And if you don't, that's all good, man. Just, you know, hopefully one day you'll come across me and not hate me eventually.
It'll be impossible to hate you, Nick. And we'll obviously tag you in all our socials and everything as well.
Awesome.
We'll have to have you along, Nick, that when life gets back to normal a bit more, we are going to be taking Over the Influence events on the road. So
oh, cool.
You know, we'd love to have an event in the US. We've got plenty of fans out there. So So yeah, cool. we'll make it happen. We'd be more than welcome to come along.
Let's get some of those buns in. I'm only coming if you've got them sticky gas station buns.
Hey, okay. Listen, if we ever meet in person, I'm gonna make sure you guys eat some gas station honey buns. For sure.
Can't wait.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
Well, that's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.